This week, Jack Gilbert won the Poetry Award at the Los Angeles Times Festival of Books. Gilbert was pleased, but in the end, awards don't mean that much to him. The 82-year-old poet has lived most of his life out of the literary spotlight. He emerged to great acclaim in 1962 when his first collection earned the Yale Younger Poets Prize and was nominated for the Pulitzer. But he didn't publish again for two decades.
I didn't want fame or money or comfort or praise or anything. I just wanted to be able to live my life.
Jack Gilbert has always lived life on his own terms. Growing up in Pittsburgh during the Depression, he made little lists of things he wanted. Not to die before he'd been in love, not to die a virgin. He did fall in love three times with women who figure prominently in his poetry. Jack Gilbert also traveled the world. He found his first love in Italy. He argued meter with beat poet Allen Ginsberg in San Francisco. He slept on the floor with his Japanese wife before she died young of cancer. Jack Gilbert never owned a home, drove a car, or had financial security. But ask him if he's happy.
I'm very happy. I've been happy almost all my life. I've been poor, I've been cold, I've been scared, all that stuff. But just to be allowed to be alive, to me, is such amazing richness.
Jack Gilbert's passion for life sets his piercing blue eyes afire. He's a frail man now, with bushy white hair and a rail-thin frame that's swallowed up by a blue wool sweater. We visited him in Northampton, Massachusetts, where he rents a room from his friend Henry Lyman.
I'd like to start by reading a small poem of yours. It's called simply Métier. The Greek fishermen do not play on the beach, and I don't write funny poems. Why not?
Because so many people who write poems make it easy on you. And so it's not getting to the insides of things.
Reaching inward is what Jack Gilbert does in his latest collection, Refusing Heaven. Here's an excerpt from the poem that means the most to him.
A brief for the defense. Sorrow everywhere. Slaughter everywhere. If babies are not starving someplace, they're starving somewhere else. With flies in their nostrils. But we enjoy our lives because that's what God wants. Otherwise, the mornings before summer dawn would not be made so fine. The Bengal tiger would not be fashioned so miraculously well. The poor women at the fountain are laughing together between the suffering they have known and the awfulness in their future. Smiling and laughing while somebody in the village is very sick. There is laughter every day in the terrible streets of Calcutta, and the women laugh in the cages of Bombay. If we deny our happiness, resist our satisfaction, we lessen the importance of their deprivation. We must risk delight. We can do without pleasure, but not delight.
In your life, what would you say has brought you true delight?
This world. Next to that, the woman I'm in love with. And my consciousness.
What are you defending in this poem?
I'm saying, sure, it's tough. We're all going to die. There's a lot of injustice in the world. But what a bargain. If you balance it out, what a balance. There's a lot of things I don't like. I don't like the fact that my hair is thinning. I don't like the fact that two of the women I loved died. But given that, what a wonderful privilege to be allowed to breathe, to see, to feel, to smell, to love. It's baffling, the sweetness of what we're allowed.
You've said that these poems in Refusing Heaven are more patient than your previous work. Why is that?
I think maybe because I'm not as eager as I used to be. When we're excited, we miss so much. When you go to a wonderful place in Europe, and you come and it just knocks me out. But it's so beautiful that I don't see it. I see its beauty. But after I've been there for a year, just like with a woman, she becomes more and more visible. Not less, but more visible. And with a person, and with a poem, and with a place, it's always the truth.
The women in your life, particularly Michiko, am I saying her name properly?
Yes.
Michiko. I get this sense in reading some of your poems about her. I feel your grief. But I'm never left in despair.
Well, then you mess everything up if you're not going to take away what was fine and has still the echo of that fineness. It wasn't just suffering or despair. What I want to keep is the Michiko that was alive. And that's what poetry and art does so well for us. It's a way of finding my way back to what was and to experience it again, and again, and again.
Are your poems a way of remembering people and things from your past?
I don't think so, because my memory is clear. It's much more a visiting. It's so lovely just to walk through my life, and often she comes back vividly. Not in any false way, but just inside me, she comes back. So devilish, so sweet, so mischievous. Wonderful.
You're now in your 80s.
Yes.
Yet you haven't had too many publications out there over all these many years. Was that conscious on your part?
Yes, because I wasn't interested in being famous.
Does being famous take away from being a good poet?
Almost always.
Why?
Well, everybody's conscious of what will sell, what won't sell. I didn't want to do that, because that way I could have the poetry to myself instead of thinking about, will this be approved? Or is this fashionable? But see, I'm not a professional poet. It's not a business with me.
If you're not a professional poet, what are you?
A real poet, a creator. I'm not a professional of poetry. I'm a farmer of poetry.
Jack Gilbert, let's end with the title poem of your newest work, Refusing Heaven.
Refusing Heaven. The old women in black at early mass in winter are a problem for him. He could tell by their eyes they have seen Christ. They make the kernel of his being and the clarity around it seem meager, as though he needs girders to hold up his unusable soul. But he chooses against the Lord. He will not abandon his life, not his childhood, not the 92 bridges across the two rivers of his youth, nor the mills along the banks where he became a young man as he worked. The mills are eaten away and eaten again by the sun and its rusting. He needs them, even though they are gone, to measure against. The silver is worn down to the brass underneath and is the better for it. He will gauge by the smell of concrete sidewalks after night rain. He is like an old ferry dragged onto the shore, a home in its smashed grandeur with the giant beams and joists, like a wooden ocean out of control, a beached heart, a cauldron of cooling melt.
Cauldron of cooling melt.
I wonder what that means.
I wondered.
I think it means that I've been, so that you wouldn't see it, extraordinarily alive. I know that I got my intentions when I set out to live my life, not somebody else's life, not some life that has been given for me. I lived my life.
Thank you, Jack Gilbert, for sharing your life and poetry with us.
It was my pleasure.
To hear Jack Gilbert read more poems, go to our website, npr.org. Our interview was produced by Kate Davidson. That's All Things Considered. From NPR News, I'm Debbie Elliott.